In Mexico, today is officially the last day of campaigning for the country's next president. It's been a campaign season much like what we see in the U.S. Attacks coming and going from all directions, campaign ads saturating radio and the internet, and KJZZ's Jorge Valencia from our Mexico City Bureau has been reporting on the campaigns, and he's on the line. Good morning, Jorge.
Hey, Lauren.
So what is the atmosphere like there on the last day of the campaign?
Well, there is a lot of excitement. Voters here will elect a president on Sunday. The front runner, his name is Andrés Manuel López Obrador. He's the former mayor of Mexico City, has more or less been campaigning since he first ran for president 12 years ago. And his supporters at his rallies are quite feverish, quite excited about him. In fact, sometimes even when he's just listing the names of the cities where he's going to go give speeches, people interrupt him, calling him president. But he's not the only one that people are excited about. There's a total of four candidates. Another one that I want to draw your attention to is his name is José Antonio Meade. He is the former finance minister. He is the candidate representing the party of the current president. And at a campaign rally recently, you can sort of get an idea for sort of how festive the atmosphere is. So José Antonio Meade is sort of competing for the second place slot right now, according to polls that we've seen for weeks now. The other main contender right now is Ricardo Anaya from a right-left coalition. But overall, it seems that there's a lot of excitement and everybody's got a lot of enthusiasm and optimism coming up till Sunday.
All right. So how much can a new president change the relationship between the U.S. and Mexico?
Well, in some cases, the Mexican presidents have really been key in sort of defining the tone of the relationship between the two countries. We take a trip really quick back to 2000. The president back then was a guy named Vicente Fox. He had run Coca-Cola in Mexico, and he was really good buds with George Bush. In fact, they visited each other's ranches. They would gift each other cowboy boots. And Vicente Fox was actually trying to get easier legal passage for people in Mexico to be able to enter into the United States. That was all derailed after 9/11. Then we got in 2006, Felipe Calderon, who was the president who takes the responsibility for having started the war on drug cartels. And then in 2012, the current president, Enrique Peña Nieto, I think that in the end, his presidency will at least partially be defined about how he responded to President Donald Trump, who has been quite acrimonious in his tone towards Mexicans, Mexican-Americans, and Mexico overall. And Enrique Peña Nieto's position has been try to be very diplomatic, to try to appease Trump. And so this could really be redefined by the next president. The front runner that I mentioned, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, he has seemed to be more combative, if you will. So if the front runner wins, then we might see a little bit more conflict and maybe not as much collaboration.
So as we look at the economic relationship then between the two countries, how are people hoping that this could affect it?
Yes, and this is an issue that is particularly interesting for us in Arizona. Mexico for Arizona is number one export market. We have a lot of relationships both culturally, a lot of families that are on both sides of the border. And then, as you know, the North American Free Trade Agreement has become a keystone issue for the Trump administration. And as a consequence of that, has become very important in Mexico. Now, I spoke to an economist. His name is Manuel Molano. This is what he hopes the next president will do.
Since it looks like we're no longer wanted buying a lot of the inputs necessary for our export produce in the North American region, we need to find inputs elsewhere, especially if there are going to be tariffs involved.
So Molano, in other words, and many economists, actually, I think he's quite representative, are hoping that the next president will not engage in a tariff war or in a trade war with the United States, which seems to be the direction that we are headed in. At the same time, he is not recommending that Mexico take this lane down. He's saying Mexico should just look elsewhere, not only to try to sell products elsewhere, but also to buy products elsewhere.
And Jorge, I know you've been reporting also on a very dark aspect of these elections, and that's violence. How is that shaping this electoral process?
Well, depending on who you ask, it is not shaping the electoral process nearly enough. In terms at least of the presidential candidates that we've been talking about, it hasn't really been a part of their campaigns, even though I've even asked campaigns in the about this issue, and they sort of punt on this question. But this has been actually a very, very big deal. According to a security consulting firm here in Mexico, at least 120 either candidates or current office holders have been killed during this election season.
Wow.
In many of those cases, we can't say in all of them, but in many of those cases, it is as a result of organized crime groups trying to influence those elections. I was actually able to connect with a former candidate, somebody who withdrew after she received threats. Her name is Silvia Rivera Carvajal, and I just want you to hear part of her experience.
Well, obviously that they were going to kill me. They said it pretty directly. And so with my family, we decided that I was going to step down because it's pretty normal here that if they don't kill you, they kill your family. And my family's life is more important to me than mine.
So as you can see, this is quite harrowing. And this is something that has very much impacted elections in pockets of the country. I don't want to overgeneralize this. This has been in some limited parts of the country. But it hasn't gotten very much attention from the presidential candidates. So at least until now, and if we continue in this direction, this is going to continue to be something that in isolated pockets of Mexico is basically creating small parallel governments. And unless something is done somehow by somebody to curb this, this is going to continue to be an issue moving forward.
All right. That's Jorge Valencia from KJZZ's Mexico City Bureau. Jorge, thanks so much for your reporting on this.
Thanks, Lauren.